WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. I'm 5'7". Joining me tonight is Mace.
Shh, I'm hunting monsters, and I'm 6'1".
Shh, that's what I'm doing. Don't tell them. They think we're taking this seriously.
Oh, sorry.
Also joining us, a man known for playing games while on the air. Spug.
I'm 5'10 with lifts.
Good man. And of course, the man himself, the one and only, well, the other guy who can't put on a figure four, the one and only Tim Stein.
All right, that's very funny. Thank you very much, Omega. I appreciate that. I'm 5'10 and 3/4, by the way.
So I'm the tallest person on this network, naturally.
Aren't you also, like, the biggest and shit?
They grow them big down there. Haven't you seen the size of their beer cans?
Well, they're upside down, so, like, gravity pulls him the other way, doesn't it?
Har, har,
glad
har.
We have someone smart as you on this network, Tim.
Thanks, I tried to be smart. Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Yeah, that's right, Russell Talk Radio. We're here. Thanks for showing up. We had a great show tonight. We're glad you can join us. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Yeah.
No. Just kidding. Yeah, we're just kicking things off. Got some announcements. We got a couple of people in the chat room that are checking us out from the Calgary, Alberta area. Yes, people, I've got some news. And a couple of you are going to be, like, hyper happy when you hear it. It's some pretty good stuff concerning Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. We're going to get to that coming up in just a little bit. First, we're going to talk about stipulations. The stipulations announced for Brock Lesnar taking on Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yes, Tim, this will be the part where you ask the question that gets the ball rolling. You should know you've been doing this shit for nearly 10 years.
I was about to start, so, like, if you just set up and, like, let me do the pregnant pause goddamn thing, I would have gotten to it. But it's too late now. So, let's just talk about it. Now, we all know, what the stipulations are and everything concerning, the match between Brock and Triple H. And the big one, of course, basically, it's Triple H's career on the line. Now, what are your thoughts from this little tete-a-tete on Monday night between Triple H and Paul Heyman, Mace?
Well, putting Triple H's career on the line, I'm sort of like meh to it.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H hasn't really been doing much on TV. He's been a very backstage guy, putting in a lot of good changes.
Yep.
And he's pretty much realizing that it's time for him to make that transition, so this is pretty much just making it official.
Okay.
Should he lose? Yep. That's the thing. There's no real guarantee that he's going to lose.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Omega, what do you think? Do you think that they basically gave away the match, just like they did for SummerSlam, that Brock is going to win, Triple H is going to have to retire? This will be Triple H's retirement match?
I don't necessarily think so.
No? Okay.
No. I don't know. Something just doesn't feel right about this being career on the line. I mean, aside from the fact it just really doesn't feel special or anything, because it's the same stipulation we've had a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it just doesn't feel like the match that, you know, Triple H ends the career on.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, refresh my memory. Who won the last time these two hooked up?
Brock Lesnar. And we all agreed that they gave it away with Triple H absolutely devastating Brock a couple of weeks before SummerSlam, leading up to it for their build-up for the match itself. And that's basically what turned out to, you know, have taken place.
I know. It just feels like they're trying to make this one as big as possible. They're trying to make it seem like there's something huge at stake here.
Okay, yeah. So it's just, basically you're saying it doesn't feel like what they did with Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels.
No. No, because this doesn't have the gravity that does. It hasn't, you know, it hasn't been built as long. I mean, when Ric Flair was building up to his final match,
yep.
It was a mandate. The next time you lose, you're done.
Yeah.
And it took months.
Yeah.
You know, and when it was time for Shawn Michaels' retirement match, it was because he needed the rematch with Taker. You know, and that was the biggest ante he could throw into the pot.
Yeah.
This is just a match. It just doesn't have the big feel that those other two did.
Okay.
As far as retirements go.
So you're like, meh, towards the whole thing.
I just wish they'd done something a little bit more creative is all.
I see. What are your thoughts on the whole thing, Spud?
It's a swerve.
It's a swerve.
Theories are back.
No, it's not a conspiracy theory.
The truth is out there.
No, why have him give up his career when he hasn't wrestled since August? The swerve is going to come after he loses at Mania, where he has to retire from being COO, and Paul Heyman steps in.
Yeah.
Because you need that heel presence. Mr. McMahon is gone. Triple H will always be a babyface now. Like, there's no way they can make him a heel. It's just not going to happen. The same thing with Chris Jericho. They always try to make him a heel, and the crowd cheers him enough because they respect him enough that it doesn't work.
Jericho will never be the ultimate, the big-time heel ever again. Just because of his stature and his status, right?
Right, correct. Yeah. It's the same with Triple H. But Paul Heyman is such a slime ball, and people hate him enough that you do this swerve. Guess what? You put him into that heel role. Boom! That's the swerve. That's the big deal that's going to happen out of that match.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how many of you guys got the feeling that there was more than just a scripting between Triple H and Paul Heyman with what went on in the ring? I don't know if you caught it or not, but Heyman got cut the hard way.
He got nicked, yeah.
Yeah, he got nicked.
Call that a cut.
Well, it was still a cut, you know. Still,
it looked,
right?
it was a temple popped is what it looked like.
It wasn't Brock Lesnar against the ring post. But you hear all of these stories and all this other crap going on all the time about how Paul Heyman is one of the most despised people working for WWE by the people who run WWE. and it's a significant case of, I can't stand you, but I know that we're going to make money, so let's do it. And, you know, this is the, like the stereotypical proof of it, if you will.
He's a slime ball. Nobody's liked him.
Yeah.
I mean, do what I say or I'll sue you. That's his
MO.
His mantra, his MO. Yeah. So.
Modus operandi, yeah.
Yeah, so like, there's no reason to like him.
Yep. Now that being said, Spug, are you a Paul Heyman guy?
To an extent.
Yeah? What about you, Mace?
I already have the shirt.
There you go, you spent his money. Omega?
Hell yeah.
Yep, you know, I think that we're all Paul Heyman guys. Let's ask the producer, Rock. Come on, Rock. Don't be shy, Rock, give it a try.
Rock doesn't want to talk to us tonight, let's move on.
Oh, no, you see, the problem is,
he hasn't got his mic on, just fucking move on already.
As far as Rock is concerned, Paul Heyman is a Sir Rockin' guy. That's what it is, right? So.
Maybe it's the guy part that's getting in the way.
Oh. That was mean. I loved it. That was fantastic. You're just on fire tonight, Omega. You know, starting with some of the backroom chat before the show even started. Holy cow.
I've been saving it up this week.
Well, what about putting Steph into the mix now and have her in Triple H's corner for this?
It's a little bit better than Shawn Michaels. That's the usual go-to.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it more on the personal level to have Stephanie McMahon involved. After all, if you go back to the pre-SummerSlam match, she was involved in that. Heyman made the off-the-cuff remark this week on Raw, which got Triple H pissed off. To have her, even if she just comes out, beats the crap out of Heyman, and chases Heyman off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good enough interaction between the two that it's going to get a pop out of the crowd.
Well, do you see the two of them exchanging, well, they wouldn't be exchanging because Heyman wouldn't, no matter how much of a slime ball he's supposed to be, he wouldn't touch Steph. But do you see Steph beating the shit out of him again? On the side, as, you know.
I could see her chasing him off.
Yeah.
She slashed him across the face, he runs like a hurt little bitch. Or waddles, whatever he does.
I dislike the use of Stephanie in all this, because it doesn't come across as genuine.
Okay.
There's a legitimate kind of dislike, distrust, and discourse between Heyman and Triple H, because of their roles in the company. There is a legitimate distrust and dislike between Triple H and Brock Lesnar,
yep,
because of the way Brock Lesnar left the company and the way that Brock Lesnar carries himself. So, to me, and for the contract fiasco last spring.
Yeah.
So, For me, bringing Stephanie in, it's just a contrived contrived part of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you keep her out and you keep things going the way they're going, by the time you get to Mania with this, it's going to be red hot.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fantastic, because I'm pretty sure those two will be professional enough where they'll keep each other safe in the ring, but yeah, it'll be snug as fuck.
Snug as a bug in a rug.
Oh.
Okay. Well, let's say that you bring Stephanie out at some point between now and WrestleMania. Make people think she's going to be in Triple H's corner. But it turns out to be Vince, who we don't see before WrestleMania, between now and then.
And honestly, I think Steph has a little bit more impact and a little bit more surprise, since we haven't seen her physically involved in this yet, even though they keep taking shots at her.
So that's the bigger pop. But my thinking is, would it not help pop the ratings a little bit if you brought her out on Raw and or SmackDown, like say twice between now and WrestleMania, and then have Vince at WrestleMania instead of Stephanie, or both of them even?
I don't think Steph is a big enough draw to do that. I mean, okay, yeah, it's okay. Hey, it's Stephanie McMahon, but you know,
it's not like you're going to call up your friends and, you know, start tweeting, hey, look who's on Raw. Go tune the channel now. Because, you know, Steph has always been a big figure in storylines, but she's never been, she's just another McMahon. Any McMahon would do that. Mm-hmm. So I really don't think there's anything to gain by blowing the surprise. If you're going to involve her, just let it happen. Let it happen at Mania. Make a big pop moment. And, you know, have it say, you know, have it be a big spark of interest, you know, for a match that was otherwise, somewhat predictable either way. Whether you think, whether you're a smart mark going, obviously Triple H is pretty much done in the ring. He's in the corporate office now. Of course, this is a retirement match. Or whether you're a less knowledge fan going, well, of course Triple H is going to win. You know, the career's on the line.
Yeah. Well, there's the thing. Do you think Triple H is going to win?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. What about everybody in the chat room? Who's going to win this match? I know we're not playing WTR Pick'em yet. This will be the next WTR Pick'em, but I just want to know if you think Triple H or Brock Lesnar is going to win. So far, we got two for Hunter. And the rest of them, I'm sure, will get posted pretty quickly. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing both Vince and Steph in Triple H's corner.
Jeez.
Really. Maybe it's overkill, maybe it's too much. I don't know, but I'd enjoy it. I really would.
It's kind of hard at that point because you've already got, a match that you would think is predictable no matter what type of mindset you're in. You kind of figure you've got the outcome pegged, whether you think it's a retirement or whether you think it's whether you think it's just a swerve.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, I think Triple H is going to pull this one off because he did the job at SummerSlam, not to use insider vernacular or anything, but let's face it, he did. And we've had just too many retirement matches over the last 3-4 years. Really.
Well, there's my problem. We've seen this so many times. It's like every WrestleMania now, we've got to have a retirement match of some kind.
Yeah.
Because we're all waiting for Undertaker's retirement match at Mania, and we just keep getting everyone else's.
Yeah.
That's this year's Mania.
I want to say he makes it to 30.
That'd be impressive.
Well, it's just a nice even number to end on.
Yeah, well, stop and you think about it. When he hits 30, he'll be, 52, 53 years old?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I mean, he just had a birthday over the weekend. How old did he become?
I think, I thought...
48.
Yeah.
He was 48. So by the time 30 rolls around...
He'll be 49.
Yeah.
Hey, public schooling.
Why are you such a dick tonight? Damn.
It's just too easy tonight.
He's in a rare form tonight,
here,
I'll tell you.
Kids. Here, let me throw this out there. There, this is something, we've had so many retirement matches lately, and it seems like Mania always has one now, where someone's career is on the line. I almost want to throw a twist to that and have something like bigger.
Yeah.
Like this scenario. Okay, Paul Heyman comes out. He makes the threat.
An NXT battle royal that gets somebody hired at WrestleMania. Well, you want to buck the trend? That'll do it.
That'll be total reversal.
Now, here's the idea that. This popped into my head afterwards. Paul Heyman comes out. He threatens he threatens the career on the line. But that's just so done. So how about this? Instead, he comes out and says, "I don't want your career. I want your legacy."
Oh,
if Brock Lesnar wins, your world titles are stricken from the records, and you will never see the Hall of Fame. While Brock is entering the Hall of Fame, you'll just be a faded memory in the wind.
That's so contrived.
It's a, yeah, I was about to say that's a little over the top.
Okay, okay. In pro wrestling, you're complaining about over the top.
All right, here's the deal. Here's the deal, though. Like, I like the spirit, kid. I like where you're coming with it, but it just it doesn't work. It doesn't work for the simple fact of you're going to tell all the kids sitting in the arenas in Triple H t-shirts that he never won a... Are we going to have... Is WrestleMania 21 going to be Stevie Richards defending against Dave Bautista? Is that what it's going to say now and if you go with that stipulation? I mean, honestly... I like the spirit. I do. I like the thought. I just
think there's more to take away than just the job because the job is just so done. You know, even if you just cut it down to you never get into the Hall of Fame.
Because that must induct Brock Lesnar into the Hall of Fame.
What? No, I got one for you. Paul Heyman has always sought validation, correct? If you listen to any of his interviews or the way he talks about things, he's always seeking validation for the things he did in ECW and the things he did afterward.
Yeah.
If Brock Lesnar wins, Triple H must induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame at WrestleMania 30.
Oh, God. Even... Oh, okay.
Oh.
See? These are better ideas. This is more creative.
I mean, it's contrived. I'll give you that.
It's contrived, but you know, it's Paul Heyman feeding his ego. It's total humiliation for Triple H more than just any, you know,
exactly.
More than losing a world title or something.
Exactly.
But by the way, Jersey Girl's sort of putting off the cuff in the chat room. She wants to see a Sable Stephanie cat fight.
Why?
I don't know why, but for some reason, I could just imagine the reaction that would happen. Sable coming down the ramp.
By the way, if Jersey
only if you get Duggan behind her going, oh!
By the way, if Jersey Girl's not going to Mania this year, who's going to give me my T-shirt?
Ah, there you go. Yeah. No, Stephanie.
Somewhere that's going.
Yeah, Stephanie Sable cat fight. That would be the battle of the flotation devices, I think.
What are you talking about? Stephanie's a real.
Okay, sure. Have you ever seen Chris Jericho's comparison?
I know.
That ain't Photoshop.
Jesus. I go away for 6 months and apparently sarcasm has been outlawed here.
Sable versus Stephanie McMahon in a bumper car match.
We're straight edge and hardcore now. Yes, I was kidding. On that note, why don't we take our first little time out of the evening, everybody else in WTR, Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, we got our standard stuff coming up, which would be the Great Debate, you know, buy or sell, quick hits. But we're also going to be talking a whole bunch more odds and ends and, of course, a couple of pretty big announcements concerning Canadian All-Pro Wrestling right here on Rush Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Can't you see I'm easily bothered by persistence? One step from lashing out at you. Hear what else to get under my skin and call yourself a friend. I've got more friends like you. What do I do?
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to?
Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Starting March 11th, it's 28 days of WrestleMania in ripped form! That's right, leading up to the biggest show of the year, we take a look back at some of the great and not so great moments in WrestleMania's history.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I think without a doubt, probably better. Oh, wow! Did you see that? Oh, he's got right hand, head knocked out of Bart Garrion. Being caught by Gunn with a hard right hand. He's walking off, Jess. I don't know if he's got enough left in him. Why, he is the greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's
Riffs in 28 days, celebrating the showcase of the immortal and not so immortal alike.
Rumors are running rampant that Lesnar is contemplating playing the National Football League, therefore leaving the WWE. That rumor has made the rounds, and certainly not excluding that as a part of the fans want to see him go.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God. And Lashley shaving Mr. McMahon bald.
I don't know. Don't do this to me.
You can hear Mr. McMahon screaming over here. Oh,
no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you crying? Stop it. Stop it. Don't.
So relive the memories at wildtalkradio.com/WrestleMania and prepare to have your childhood destroyed, as only we at the Wild Talk Radio Network can destroy it.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long... years. Finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To a shocking moment.
Oh, oh, no! Oh my God! Oh, God! Oh, God! Don't do this, Bro!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Yeah.
And welcome back, WPR's Sunday Night Wrestle Talk, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, everybody. I don't know the theme tonight with Rock's music coming back from commercial break. It seems to be, you know, somebody's back about something for some reason. I don't know. Speaking about back sides, just found out during the break here that Sean Waltman had to undergo surgery after a match against Jerry Lynn, Horace the Psychopath, and J.B. Trask last night in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Basically missed a Bronco Buster attempt, had his backside ripped up. Talk about tearing somebody a new asshole, hey, Spug?
Your joke is awful and horrible and shut the fuck up.
Hey, he's horribly maimed.
Oh, Mega, that was just wrong. Anyway,
Spug, you're right, sarcasm has left the building.
Oh, that's just wrong. Yeah, not to make light of it or anything like that. It was a pretty serious thing, everybody. He lost a lot of blood from the injury, got hospitalized, and had to, get it all fixed up. But, after the match, he actually, he was good enough to give a speech about Jerry Lynn's career, and he was taken to the hospital immediately afterwards. And, yeah, okay, bad joke and shit like that. It's good that, he got taken care of, and I hope that he's, okay and back and on his feet soon.
Well, he should be back on his feet because he can't exactly sit down much for a while.
Okay, and you called my joke bad. 3, 2, 1, boom.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not much one with the funny tonight.
So anyway, yeah, let's talk about Punk and the Undertaker. You know, we were talking last segment about Triple H and the hype with Brock Lesnar. What about this one? Is this one living up to any hype at all?
Wait, well, which one? Undertaker Punk?
Undertaker Punk, yeah. Is this one being hyped properly? Is it living up to expectations?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm glad that you're here, Spug, because I know you've got something to say about this, so go for it.
It's pro wrestling at its most base. Like, the traditional, most basic principles of hyping a match, and this is hitting every one of them.
Yeah.
It's two guys who know how to work and know how to work a storyline, and they happen to have something that was a blessing in disguise at the time happen.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to make light of the man's death because he was one of the most influential managers in wrestling history.
Yeah.
But somewhere in the ether, William Moody is smiling right now.
So you're thinking that Paul Bearer would have endorsed what's going on?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to open up a can of worms because we had that last week. So.
Well, I don't know what can of worms you could open simply because the only thing so far that I have thought they've gone close to the line with was Punk using the urn as a mime of the late Paul Bearer. Him doing the voice I didn't have an issue with, but the miming with the urn I was kind of like, that's a little far,
that's a little much.
If you look at the whole thing, though, like, they're just, it's so well done. Because how many people remember that CM Punk is not the champion anymore? Or that he got screwed in the championship so that Rock and Cena could have it? Nobody cares now. They want to see Undertaker mop the floor with CM Punk because of his disrespectfulness, because of the way he's treated Undertaker. They are now emotionally invested. Bravo, WWE. Bravo.
I can't disagree with you on that point. And with everything that we talked about last week, Mace really swung me as far as his position goes. I mean, yes and no. Is basically what he was, you know, like, on the one side, it was absolutely, he could see what's going on. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Mace, correct me if I'm wrong. You could tell what was WWE was doing, and, good job of the way they were doing it, but at the same time as basically just as a human being. It was
Yeah, it was basically the point that I made last week for those of you who don't remember last week due to either you're drinking too much or whatever.
It better not be my stash.
Basically, as somebody who's been a part of the business, I'm seeing the way they're booking it, and I'm loving it. I'm applauding it. Brilliant work, brilliant writing. As a fan, I see it as the way they're portraying it. As a fan, I'm seeing the disrespect, and I'm wanting Undertaker to you know, use CM Punk's head or what's left of his hair as a mop.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see the fight, and that's, as Spug said, it's the emotional investment, and they have suckered me in so well.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened with a lot of other people, is they can see, yes, there's a disrespect of Paul Bearer's death, and that's why The Undertaker's pissed off at him now. That's why we're going to see The Undertaker go absolutely crazy at WrestleMania. Which means that the more logical mind, the one that knows the behind-the-scenes booking, is going, bravo, you have done this so well.
Yeah. Now, Omega, with you know, the fact that William Moody's family signed off on the whole storyline and angle in play here, how are you feeling towards CM Punk going into WrestleMania against Undertaker? Do you are you still a CM Punk guy, and you would be cheering CM Punk along with all of his acolytes at all of the events, or are you in the corner that Mason Spug pointed out? You want to see Taker mop the floor with him just because of that disrespect?
Oh God!
Yeah, I know it's a hell of a conundrum for you, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. That's why I asked you that question.
God damn you. It speaks of how well this angle is being put together. I mean, yes, it's an unfortunate turn of events that caused it to be put together like this.
Yep.
However, on the one hand, yes, I am loving the heel that Punk is portraying right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going, you know, he's juggling the urn on Raw, and I'm going, oh, you son of a bitch. And then the other part of me is going,
yeah. So
I'm loving it, but he's a bastard. I want him dead, you know?
Yeah.
And you spoke of the emotional investment. I mean, it is a very accident, you know, it's a very unfortunate thing that created the match as it now stands.
Yep.
But in a perfect world, Taker would retire at 20-0. It's a nice even number. It looks good in the record books. Looks great on the DVD cover, right?
Yeah.
And one, you know, the 21 just would feel meh. It was just like, you know, now you're holding on too long. That one is so much more significant now because it's not. The streak is second player to this now.
It's like, break his neck, kick his ass, beat the crap out of him, Taker.
Well, here's the other great thing about this whole, because everybody's also forgotten about the streak.
Yeah.
Everybody's forgotten about the streak. Everybody wants to see CM Punk get his ass handed to him. Yeah. Now, I happen to be a big fan of the Legends of Wrestling Roundtable series.
Okay.
I have every episode. I've watched every episode. I learn everything I can from listening to those guys talk about what to do and what not to do inside of a ring and in a locker room and with a crowd.
Yeah.
JR said something on an episode that fairly recently that stunned me. And I think it was on the Over and Underachiever episode.
Okay.
And he said, guys today are afraid to get heat. And Michael Hayes looked at him and said, I know what you mean. And JR said, no, not really. He said, guys today are so afraid to get the white hot, people are threatening to stab them. Heat.
Yeah.
And he says, no one wants to step up and take the mantle. No one wants to, no one wants to push forward and carve their own, carve what they want out of the business. He says, if guys would just not be afraid to get heat, you could see a few individuals just carve what they wanted out of wrestling and leave an indelible mark. Well, guess who stepped up and is not afraid to get heat?
Yeah.
Guess who is carving what he wants out of the legacy of professional wrestling?
Yeah.
He is making his mark. Because long after CM Punk and Undertaker are gone, this will be a feud for the ages.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the things that they have done.
So, would you all agree it's unanimous that they have not dropped the ball with this feud, but it's building momentum instead?
I don't know. I personally don't know how you could have fumbled this. Like, at the quantify that. At the beginning, okay, with that stupid fatal four-way, you know, match or whatever it is that they had with, yeah, who was going to face the Undertaker, yeah, that was kind of dumb.
Okay, yeah.
And if they had gone the I'm disrespected route and done it more as a shoot feud, unless you just let CM Punk and Undertaker write the feud themselves, some stupid Days of Our Lives writer would fuck that up. But with the, again, blessing in disguise and the unfortunate death of William Moody.
Yeah.
It has done something to the feud where it's nobody has to work. You know what, yep, I mean?
Yep.
You've been given this gift of,
literally on a silver platter.
Yeah. Here is your motivation. Okay, run with it.
Uh-huh. Just all you gotta do is watch out for that brick wall. Run around it.
That's right. All.
Really?
Here are the keys to the Ferrari.
Yeah.
All you have to do is take it to valet parking, park it, and then in 3 weeks go pick up your paycheck for 6 figures plus. That's all you have to do. Just, yep, don't wreck it.
Yep.
And so far, they haven't wrecked it. It's been fantastic. I will tune in again Monday just to see the segment.
Just to find out what goes on further.
Yes, because I'm waiting for the inevitable face-to-face of the two of them in the ring. Because, yeah, what happens before WrestleMania? The heel always gets a small comeuppance before the big match.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for that. I cannot wait for Undertaker to get his hands on CM Punk. And that's the fan in me.
Uh-huh.
And whether you're in the business or not, if you're not a fan, stop watching. If you're just going to critique it and bitch and moan because they're doing something you don't like, stop watching.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're coming from, and I got nothing. So, what do you, Omega Mace, what do you guys think? Anything? Any thoughts before we move on?
No, my thoughts would be the exact same way that they were last week.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this. I'm with Spug. This is fan season. This is where you, either you're a fan or get the fuck out, yeah, of the way.
Yeah. And I gotta tell you guys, I'm enjoying it, yeah. But, one small tiny corner of my mind feels guilty. Almost like not bad guilty, but like it's a guilty pleasure.
It's like you shouldn't be enjoying this given the subject matter, yet you are anyway.
Yes, it's like eating that, yeah, chocolate chip cookie that you shouldn't have that your sister got for herself. It just tastes too damn good for you to care.
So it's like when Mace watches My Little Pony.
Oh.
Well, here's the thing. You want to know the funny thing?
Here it comes.
You should not be making that joke at me anymore, considering
I know
you
it shouldn't.
So
you watch it too?
You're of the exact same mindset I was.
Here's the problem. I did it for attention. You did it of your free will.
Okay, Spud, you just freaked out Starscream Josh. Actually, I think we all did because we're all pretty much in agreement.
Well, and let me just say this. They can go too far with this.
That's the one thing they got to be careful of, and that's the brush yes. wall I mentioned.
Yes. Like they can go too far with it. If they start coming out and Undertaker's doing a eulogy for Paul Bearer or whatever, like, you have to rein yourself in a little bit. And if the writers just walk up to CM Punk and Undertaker and say, "Here you go, guys," those two will know how to work it.
Yeah.
And work it well. You have to be careful that you don't go too far.
Okay. Now, you're the one, as a matter of fact, who brought up the fact that the playing around with the urn was really walking across that, along that fine line.
Yes.
Now, can they get away with doing more of that line walking, or should they back away a little bit from the edge, just a bit?
I think you need to back away from the edge a little bit, and then right before, step right on it. Like, literally the Raw before Mania, you step right on that line, because then you're gonna hook them.
And that's where you, get everybody revved for the following mm-hmm. Sunday. Which, by the way, is going to be, they're saying a 6-hour event this year.
6 hours?
Five hours of the show, plus there's a 1-hour build-up that's, I guess, they're having online or what, something.
What it is, it's the standard 4-hour pay-per-view event.
Yeah.
And it's a 1-hour YouTube pre-show.
Okay. Well, so still, it's five hours.
It's a 5-hour event, yes. It's a bit too much.
That's still quite one hell of a day, so, yeah. But, anyway, yeah. So, there's really nothing that they could do to, give it a helpful push this feud, really. Basically, all they got to do is just stay the course what they're doing right now.
No, and every feud on mm-hmm. the card so far,
yep,
has like its storyline, and I'm intrigued in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shield versus Sheamus, Orton, and Big Show. I'm intrigued to see how Sheamus, Orton, and Big Show are going to coexist.
Yeah,
is this a babyface turn for Big Show?
Well, I've been wondering that since he got attacked by the Shield.
Right, like, is this gonna be like a tweener / babyface turn for the Big Show? Are we gonna see more main event stuff from the Big Show in the future? Are they breaking up the Shield and allowing Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins to go their separate ways and maybe start pushing them towards the main event?
Mm-hmm.
That whole six-way, though, at the moment, if reports are correct, could be completely all over the place. Because I think that the original deal was they took the six-man match, which was originally meant to have Ryback in it, and putting it with Henry, and supposedly Henry got injured over the weekend.
Oh, great!
So Ryback could be back.
I'm shocked.
Well, yeah. Mark, I read that he got injured, but from the reports I read, he should be okay by Mania. So. We'll see.
That's all right then.
only to get injured all over again at Mania.
We'll see.
It's against Ryback.
Listen, who'd have thought Skip Sheffield would have been the most over thing to come out of the Nexus?
Yeah, no kidding. Stop.
That is actually scary.
Daniel Bryan.
Well, Daniel he got Bryan fired from the Nexus. So.
He was there for a week.
He was there for 20 minutes. He got fired the very next day because of the tie incident, remember?
Observation is still valid.
He's not going to let it go, Spug. Beat him up.
I just put him on my shoulders and squat him.
There you go.
Okay, Spud, can you please never say you're going to squat me ever again? It just sounds wrong.
I could deadlift you.
Let's not put that to the test.
I could deadlift you. Come on.
Omega, did you not see the video I put up on Facebook Friday?
So, hey, there's a question that apparently certain someone wants us to banter back and forth about. This young lady is asking, should Punk continue to sell it, or should we see Taker do more?
Why?
You want to see Punk keep doing what he's doing, and you want to see Taker react. You don't want to see Taker take the lead in something like this.
As it was said, the week before Mania, the heel gets his comeuppance. That's the only thing Taker needs to do between now and Mania.
The small comeuppance.
I forgot to quantify it.
Yes.
It can't be anything too big.
Remember, WrestleMania 7, leading into WrestleMania 7, Hogan Slaughter. Slaughter attacked Hogan on superstars left and right. The superstars before Mania.
Yep.
Hogan got the better of Slaughter and gave him the big boot. And then Adnan saved Slaughter. Right? Because in that tag team match, it was Adnan and Slaughter versus Hogan and Warrior.
Yeah.
Was it Hogan and Warrior or Hogan and Tugboat? Somewhere in there. But they wrestled. And Hogan hit him with the big boot, and Adnan pulled Slaughter out, and they counted Slaughter out, and that's how Hogan won.
Wait a minute, that was 1991, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Tugboat.
It was Tugboat. That's what I thought it was. I thought it was Tugboat. But you just need that small little piece to come up. It's like WrestleMania 14. They did the thing in Boston, where before Mania they had the big public workout, and DX pinned Austin in the ropes, and they were shoving the belt in his face. And I guess at like a house show event or something later in the week, Austin stunned Michaels. Batista powerbombing Triple H through the table at the contract signing the week before WrestleMania 21.
Yeah.
It's just little things to get the people just hooked. Like, they're already in the arena, but at that point, they're there. Yeah. You know, like they won't miss it. It's a 90-10 rule. Honestly, the baby should never punch first. Ever.
Well, that's just standard.
But to have Taker take over now would just kill all the momentum you've made.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Exactly. You don't want to do that. Completely. Yeah. So, as far as feuds go, this one so far is perfect.
Absolutely.
Yep. I don't think there's a dissenting vote in that completely at all. But do you guys remember the good old days when wrestlers were told, okay, hit this point, hit that point, hit that point, go?
So excited. I know where you're going.
You remember those days, don't you? You know, back when it was enjoyable to listen to a wrestler cut his own promo?
I'm so excited.
We've spent 15, 20 years having WWE hire people who write soap operas to write promos for their wrestlers. Well, looks like that might be going by the wayside yet once again, and then the guys are going to be able to go out and say their own stuff. What do you think?
I'll save my spiel for the end.
Okay, Omega.
You get the feeling he's working up to his.
There you go.
I seriously cannot wait for the full regime change.
Yeah.
But, you know, 5 years ago, I was scared to death of a Triple H run WWE. Now I am begging for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just so much more exciting when the thing isn't scripted out, note for note.
Yep.
You know, because especially when you've got someone who doesn't know wrestling writing it, because if you saw these matches on paper, they would all look the same.
Yeah.
And we've seen how slavish all the newer talent is to that because they don't know how to improvise. It was Del Rio. Del Rio trying to do a spot where Big Show had Ricardo Rodriguez's pail held up to his head, kind of mocking him as he retreated. And Del Rio was supposed to kind of hop off the ropes and enziguri that into the side of Big Show's head. Well, he completely blows it.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest spot in the world. Because now there's no wiggle room anymore.
You're expecting Big Show to be coming.
Aside from Big Show has the observational skills of a rock.
Yeah, I mean, you're making him look absolutely stupid for not seeing it coming the second time.
Yeah, well, instead of just, like, getting up and just, like, punching it into the side of Big Show's head, he goes to do the exact same spot again.
Yeah.
And it just looks so freaking stupid. Because Big Show has to stand there with a bucket to his head the whole time while Del Rio completely flops beside him.
Well, that's just it. He stood there, the bucket, and it's like literally he's holding the bucket to the side of his head. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Move the bucket.
It's not even move the bucket. It's, hey, I think there was a Mexican flying by my head to my right. Let me look. Oh, yes.
There was.
To my right.
Yep. And, you know, that just basically goes to something that I brought up a couple of weeks ago. And what I tell especially the younger guys working in Canadian All-Pro, if you screw up a spot and you really want to get it in, work towards it. Don't try to set it back up immediately. Work back around. If you have to put it in a different part of the match, put it in a different part of the match. I don't care. Don't make it look bad. And that just looked bad. You're champing at the bit, Spud.
I am.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to wait, cause Mace is next.
I know, cause you said, like, Omega said something, and then you just said something, and I'm just kinda like,
Yeah, just add it to the repertoire, man, because, you know, we can come back around to it, right? It's funny to me, so that's all I care about. Oh, anyway, go ahead, Mace.
Look, with, in terms of the interviews, going back to bullet points, thank God. Yeah, there's nothing worse than sitting there watching somebody, especially when they stop and stammer or when you can noticeably tell that they need cue cards off camera side or something like that.
Yep.
That they have it all nicely scripted out and they've gone through it in their heads and you can see them thinking instead of speaking.
Yep.
But they have that puzzlement look on their face of, okay, I've said this line, this is coming up, I've got to make sure to say this word and that one and this. No. Here's your opponent, here's what you want to do, this is where you're doing it, go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
and
yep.
You suddenly have character, you have personality, you have charisma, you have people actually coming out and being a character again, instead of, I am Robot Wrestler 3.11.
Yeah.
You know, instead of that generic shit, we get to go back to the days where guys were characters, where they had personality and they were able to bring that out in their promos and they can improvise a bit more.
Yeah.
Which means if there's going to be somebody who suddenly walks in, bang, you suddenly have a genuine conversation between two people.
Yeah.
Rather than you say your line, I'm going to say my line.
Well, it makes you think.
Hopefully this also transitions into the matches as, you know, you were discussing with Omega with the whole spots thing.
Yep. Well, you know, my point is it just goes back to the days where wrestlers had to think on their feet.
Pretty much. Like,
and that just made it feel more real and spontaneous.
I've only cut like a handful of promos during time in the ring. And even during training, we would do it. And my trainer would say to some of the guys, okay, you know, we used to do the bullet point system. He said, okay, this is your opponent. This is where you are. You got 2 minutes. Go.
Yep.
And most of the people would be just standing there going, because they didn't know, they were used to a script.
Yep.
Whereas I just get up there, it's like, okay, what do you want me to say? I've got to go up against him, we're doing it where? Here, match stipulations, good, okay, boom. And I'm off.
And you just rattle it.
I cut a 2 minute promo and everybody would be going nuts by the end of it.
Okay, here you go, your match is against Steven Styles, and it's a hardcore match, false count anywhere. Go.
No. Not doing it.
What? What's the matter? Too easy?
No, because I don't have an established character or anything, so fuck off.
Well, there you go.
Oh, come on, Maze.
You're the Australian Tasmanian Devil or whatever.
Oh, piss off.
You're the Australian Spider-Man.
Whatever.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, I gave you a chance to take a shot at Steven Styles because I know he's listening and he's actually wrestling on Saturday night. But
we'll get around to him at some point.
All right.
Need an opportunity to take a shot at him?
Well, it's not an opportunity.
Well, I was
going
to say we get around to him because there's a lot to get around.
Oh!
Dude, he's not even worth the time. He is honestly more forgettable than what was her name? Alicia.
Leave it there. That's
just
perfect.
Leave it there, because that's perfect. He's more forgettable than that chick. What's her name?
I mean, I think Alicia Fox and Melina have better matches than that dude had.
Yeah,
but that's my favorite match.
There you go. Never mind. Anyway, are you guys ready for Spug to just go crazy with this one? Smoke him if you got him. Go ahead,
Spug. We've been doing it long enough so you could get to it.
I'm excited. Finally, wrestling's getting back to where it should have been. And I don't understand why Omega was hesitant of a Triple H regime in the first place. Like, the dude actually understands the business and was good.
I think it was, well, keep in mind, this, you know, back when that opinion was, that was back when that opinion was popular where, you know, okay, well, Triple H already has this much control and he just puts himself over and keeps people down. And what's going to happen if he has more control?
But the funny thing is that he never, like, he's only put himself over in certain situations a couple of times. That's what's funny about it, is like any other time, he'd put the other guy over.
Mm-hmm. I think it's still the RVD mark in me that remembers the story about him specifically saying to the writers, no, don't do anything with him.
I can understand that, but still, like, I want you to look at where certain people that Triple H has put over have gone with their career, and where's RVD?
Well, yeah, but isn't RVD pretty much where he wants to be?
I'm not, well, alright. RVD is a great athletic talent.
Mm-hmm.
But RVD suffers from complacency. He does. He's happy where he's at and he doesn't want to go anywhere further than that.
Yep.
And he's aging and cannot do the things he used to do. And now when he tries to do them, sometimes looks awful. That's just fact.
It looks like he's got ring rust when he tries to pull it off and misses.
Yep. And that's just fact. It is.
Well, it happens.
But I am thankful that the wrestling business is going back to the way where it should be.
Uh-huh.
Because as Triple H gets more power, I guarantee you will start to see another boom period in wrestling.
Yeah. Well, this is the period that, like, even 5 years ago, people were bitching and crying and complaining about. The period where Triple H gets that power and starts taking over. And to this point, so far.
Because it's going to be Triple H putting himself over in everything, and he'd be everywhere. When was the last time you saw him before Monday Night Raw a couple weeks ago? Oh, that's right, August.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
Yep.
Dude is doing everything he should be doing.
You don't look too far into this. This was popular opinion back when Triple H was on TV all the time. That's when the opinion became.
I'm not saying
it was back during the oversaturation period. As Triple H has sort of stepped away from being an in-ring competitor, a lot of people have been able to take that step back themselves and look at the larger picture with and him being
I'm not in control. Saying, so. I'm not saying that the opinion didn't have validity or roots.
No.
What I'm saying is that I, being a fan of Triple H, and being someone like Mace, and like Tim, and like Omega, for the most part, have been able to see the larger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Had been able to see from the beginning where this was going. And I am excited because we have feuds that mean something. Look at that WrestleMania card so far.
This has got to be the most stacked card I've seen in a good 5 years. Easily.
And it should be. And every match means something and has a feud going into it.
Yep. So and it doesn't feel like going through the motions like the last 4 years of WWE altogether have felt.
True.
Overall.
And there's something for everyone on that card.
Yeah.
Which is what you should have when you go to a show.
Yep.
You should. Perfectly. And I'm excited because if that's, I understand that it's a super card and that that's what your big show of the year should be. But if we even get a smidgen of that throughout the rest of the year,
yep.
Why wouldn't I tune into all the pay-per-views? Why wouldn't I watch the television? Because if you have, even if you don't have another company to compete against, if you continually compete against yourself and try to better yourself,
yep.
Then, you know, our ratings were 3.3 last week. What can we do to get them to 3.5?
Yep.
What can we do to get them to 4.0?
Yeah, that's definitely the way to think.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the way to think.
So Days of Our Lives guide, or you're fired. Guiding Light guy, you're fired.
Yeah.
Oh, you used to write for AWA. You used to be involved here. Come here, let me talk to you.
Yep.
You understand what the wrestling business is about.
Yep.
There's nothing that should be the focus. And well, this. Hold on, you're letting me go. So let me go.
Okay, I'll let you go. I have a question to throw at you. That's all.
Give me 1 second. And this whole promo is going back to being bulletin boys. That, I love that. I absolutely love that because guys should be able to go into the ring, be able to say what they want to say. And this goes back to a Legends of Wrestling thing that JR was talking about. He said when guys were able to speak like that and they weren't so scripted and they weren't pumping in crowd noise, the fans got more invested. Mm-hmm. How invested would you be in the Ryback character if he could actually talk?
I like Ryback the way he is, to tell you the truth.
But you know what I mean? Like, if he could actually talk.
Yeah.
And cut a decent promo.
Well, then he wouldn't be the Ryback we know. That's the way I look at it.
Okay. He could be someone who could talk, though.
Yeah.
Well, and how many guys has WWE hired in the past 10 years that have a body and athletic ability, but no mind or mouth for the business?
Quite a few. They've gone through them.
And gone through them quite handily.
Yep.
Now you're going to see the reversal of that. And, well, I will probably never ever make it to the WWE or even get looked at because I'm under 6 foot and I'm 230 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Guys like me now have a future.
Yeah.
Because if we can talk and we can work, like, being able to work is now more important than having a six pack.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fantastic. You brought up the story about the trainees.
Yep.
I was in a match last week. The guy was wrestling, called for a shoulder tackle. We were doing the Memphis Open, right?
Okay.
Called for a shoulder tackle. Now, I heard him call for it, and I didn't know if he wanted me to take it or if he wanted to take it. Because he's one of those weird guys that'll let you take his head at the beginning, and he'll call for the shoulder tackle, but he'll want you to take it.
Okay.
Or he'll take it. It's just he's weird. We both took it.
Okay.
Now, I got up selling my head. He got up selling his head. He kneed me in the gut, put me back into the ropes, and called for the spot again, and said, said shoulder tackle, go for the drop down. So I immediately knew I was taking it.
Okay.
And we worked right back into the spot where we were going.
Yeah.
Without missing a beat.
Okay, yeah.
And
well, that goes back to what I was talking about earlier, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there, if you can work, you have a future. Mm-hmm. If you just have a six-pack and athletic ability, but no mind for the business, when you're out there and Brodus Clay dumps you on your head because you didn't jump,
yep.
You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Would you look like a fool to millions of people because you didn't do your part? What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, it's as simple as when you're told to duck a clothesline, duck the damn clothesline.
And swing for their head.
Yeah. So.
I get yelled at for it all the time, because when I throw a clothesline, somebody's going to duck it, I elevate it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to catch someone right in the face.
Yeah.
I was yelled at by vets, because I don't, they're like, throw it at his fucking head. If he doesn't duck it, that's his fault.
Yeah. But you say you elevate a little bit, and you know, if it looks good, do it. As long as you're not like deliberately going swimming over your head
well,
to elevate it.
Throw it, I don't even realize it that I'm throwing it way, way, way high.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, let me ask you. Pretty much Triple H has started really getting into the swing of things, I guess you could say, even before SummerSlam this past summer. Have you noticed the change in the, call it the flavor of WWE between then and now?
Well, things are certainly a little bit more edgier.
Mm-hmm. But more captivating.
Absolutely more captivating.
Is that Triple H's influence? Will you credit Triple H for that?
I will credit the forwarding of the business.
Okay.
Because I don't think that it was just Triple H.
Okay.
I don't. I think that there, I think that there was a multitude of things that went into it, so I can't just say, oh, it was only Triple H who did it.
No, but Triple H now has the stroke to make sure other people are doing it.
Yeah.
Which becomes a community thing, and all of these people are responsible because they've got that old school thinking, because that's how they were taught by Gene Kaniski, Killer Kowalski, those guys who are just hanging on now to the end of their career, who were trained by these legends. And they still remember old school, and they're keeping it with them, and it's coming back.
Well, this
is another example of it.
Well, what once was old is new again. I had this conversation with a kid who, a kid, because he's like 3 years younger than me, but a guy who wrestles in the area.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking, and he goes, if I could just wrestle lucha or death matches all the time, I'd be happy. But then he looked at me and told me that because I don't do a million flips, throw 7 super kicks, and I like to work body parts, and do strong, snug wrestling that tells a story that I'll never get over.
Well, you know, I could tell you guys something I can't tell you, but if I could tell you, it would really, really throw that door wide open, so there's absolutely no hidden spots at all whatsoever. It deals with the last show for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, and it deals with Johnny Devine being the locker room leader, talking to a certain individual about what they had done in their match in the ring. And I'd love to say it, but I can't. It's not something that I can say on the air for the public. There's precious few things that wrestling still holds on to as part of the mystery, and you can't do anything to open that up and let it go.
No, I'm with you, but you know, to look at me and say that, I can understand where he's coming from. But if you tell a compelling story that the fans want to see the payoff to,
yep.
Even if it's a lucha match, even if it's a death match, they will pay their money.
Yep.
It doesn't matter the style of wrestling. Yep. Again, I go back to Punk and Undertaker. They're telling a compelling story that the fans want to see, and guess what? People are going to pay their money to see it. Mm-hmm. 100%. So if I work a body part and work a little old school, work like Bruiser and Crusher and Bully Busek,
mm-hmm.
You know, I work like Manny Fernandez or Fit Finley or William Regal, what does it matter? If I go out there and I tell my story and I do my job to help the other guy tell his story and we put each other over and the crowd buys it, Then what's the issue whether or not I throw a million super kicks and do a million flips?
Mm-hmm. Well,
why should I have to have a six pack and be athletic?
Yeah,
I shouldn't. Yeah. It should be about the work.
Yeah.
It should be about the work. And yeah. thankfully, with Triple H taking over at the helm and that old school mentality coming back, it's about the work once again.
There you go. So, you've had your say on this, and we left it for you, and we had some. Spug, how many people do you think right now are basically having their eyeballs explode out of their head because of the way you and I are talking with each other right now?
That we're getting along? I've already gotten like 4 text messages, I'm not even lying.
They're saying like, what the fuck is it with you two?
I thought you hated Tim. I thought you hated Tim. I thought you guys didn't get along.
That's just bullshit.
I was like, Lord, no, it's professional. I was like, Tim and I don't always agree. we don't always agree, and yeah, we get in each other's throat, but be professional.
Dude, it's been a work. We've been carrying this on for years. This is a bigger work than, you know, Brett versus Sean.
There you go. Yeah. I'll tell you right now, one of the first persons I would have a beer with when I go to Ohio would be Spug, just so you guys know that. One of the first people. Spug,
how many
hey,
others
out of town.
Do you
let's go
know
for
in
a beer.
Ohio?
What do you think? What's that?
How many others do you know in Ohio?
There's quite a few people.
I know people. I used to live in Ontario, man. That's right across Lake Ontario from Ohio.
Lake Erie.
Yeah, that too.
Lake Ontario doesn't come anywhere near Ohio. But
yeah, that too. Anyway, on that note, we're going to take second or third time out? I forgot. I lost count. We're going to take our next time out of the evening, everybody. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got a couple of people from Calgary tuned in, and they're in the chat room right now, and I'm sure they're really, really, really curious as to what my big announcements are for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. Well, guess what? You're going to find out right after this. Stay
tuned. He's shutting the doors forever.
Shut up. Don't tell him until I get back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number 2.
That's apparently number 7. It was number 2 at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something. Techno gang bang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Why? Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? It just gets weirder and weirder.
I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you've done the battle here.
That's the horse you have, man. The horse you. Not the pelvic thrust. Oh, what, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future. Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless our Made in America.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insight from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I came to pay to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
I'm supposed to talk right now, but I like the song.
How many times do you say that when we actually play the song?
Every single damn time, Rock. Anyway, that being said, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, everybody. Yeah, that is the theme song for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, and we're playing it for a reason. A couple of major announcements. These are big. This is huge. Rock, how big is this?
it's so big that we might need a drum roll?
Yeah, have you got one?
I have a drum roll.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, first one.
Okay. Yeah, it was kind of lame.
It's a drum roll. What do you want? It's
a drum roll. I want a drum roll. It's not fucking lame. Okay, so which one should I start with? The thing that's going to happen on Saturday or the thing that we got for Saturday? And every other wrestling event.
That one first.
That one first?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a whirlwind thing, and it took, like, literally 3 days to put it together. Now, it's no real secret to anybody who's ever been to a Canadian All-Pro Wrestling event that we've been renting a wrestling ring. And we have been fortunate enough to be able to strike a deal with Real Canadian Wrestling out of Edmonton to use their ring. Well, as of today, that is no longer a necessity. As of today, I played hooky from work. I actually went to work for like an hour and then played hooky for the rest of it. And, oh, God, I hope my boss doesn't listen to this show. anyway, we have purchased our very own wrestling ring. Canadian All-Pro Wrestling has a wrestling ring. Now, this is a ring that originally came from Monster Rings down in Kentucky. You can see pictures of it on Justin TV now as we speak. We had that set up. We took it to the Royal Canadian Legion where we hold our shows and unloaded the ring from the truck. We set it up, and you can see pictures of it going up and being assembled. And now that we put it together for the first time, we know how to put it together. It's going to take like maybe a half an hour to throw the damn thing up.
It shouldn't even take you that long.
Yeah, well, no, like two people, it's going to take 30 minutes for two people to do it.
Those
Tim,
rings
a ring like that fit. Tim, two people a ring like that should take no more than 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, when you think about it, if it's me and Ian, then it's going to take 30 minutes.
Listen, I'm telling you, I've set up a monster ring before.
Yep.
And they are the easiest things to put together.
Yep.
I don't know if yours... I want to give you a little hint, though, a little help.
But go ahead, sure, lay it out.
Go to a hardware store, and this is going to be well worth the money, because I don't know what your ring came with.
Yeah, get everything except the apron.
Get some logger's chain. Get some logger's chain and two come-alongs.
Yeah.
And instead of those stupid braided cables...
You don't like the cross cables, do you?
I don't. I like the chains with the come-alongs because you can get the ring post pulled in tighter, and if you put the ropes on first without tightening them,
yep,
and then crank down your come-alongs and then tighten your ropes,
yep,
you get a better wear out of the ropes,
yeah,
and get longer life out of the ring at a show. Because how many shows have you been to where the first two matches, the ropes are cool, the third match, the ropes start to sag a little bit, and by the main event that has like six flippy guys in it, they can't do half the shit they want to do because the ropes suck.
Well, with this one, when we slapped it together, yeah, it's great. Those ropes are not going to come loose. This thing
they will. Telling you, they will. Yeah. The place.
Yeah, I can tell that. Like, you've got a picture there with two people leaning on that bottom rope, and it's sagging something shocking.
Well, yeah.
Same with the top rope. Need to run those, get those ropes done properly.
Yeah, guys, we just threw it together. We didn't get it all like completely done and stuff like that. We just got it. All we did was we put it up, and that's it. We just wanted to put it up, right?
No,
you should have gone all the way to match condition and had somebody like really hit those ropes hard.
Listen, this is all I'm saying, dude. Because I've been in a monster ring.
Yep.
I put up a monster ring.
Yep.
The place that I work at every Tuesday has a monster ring. They're wonderful bumps. They're easy bumps. They're real easy to put together. But if you go with the cross cables underneath that are made out of logger chains with come-alongs, and then you put the cable along the outside of the ring post to keep them from bowing out anymore, you'll get longer life out of your ring, longer life out of your ring posts and your ring ropes, better wear out of the ring, and it'll bump better.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the other thing, and this is another investment that may take time, is I see that you have 4x8 plywood. Go to the 2x6 planks.
Okay.
2x6 planks offer better support in the ring and a softer, louder bump.
Oh, louder. Trust me, this thing's plenty loud.
I know, but I'm offering you advice. Take it for what it's worth.
I'm not ignoring your advice at all. As a matter of fact, we were talking about, getting a come along for the outside. Yeah, we did that for the, we had that for the ring and the bar when we were doing the bar shows.
The come-alongs are fantastic. Like, I love them. It's so easy, too. Like, you don't have to get under there with two screwdrivers or two chunks of metal to tighten the turnbuckles. One person can go under the ring and tighten the underneath of the ring.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. No, I do like the idea. And I can pick up two come-alongs for like $50, so.
Yeah, they're not expensive. And the chains, for the chain and the come-alongs, you're gonna spend $100, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've made a $4,000 investment in a ring, $100 to secure it for a little bit longer.
It is not a bad idea.
No.
Yep.
Flexi beam rim. I love it.
Yeah, it's a flexi beam rim.
Those things are like a cloud to bump on, and they bounce like a trampoline. It is awesome.
This thing is incredible. Yeah, I actually jumped off the middle rope right to the center of the ring, and it just bounced. I mean, it was awesome.
you have cable rope or real rope?
That's real rope.
Yes. Oh, I love real rope. Tell your guys, though, especially your bigger ones.
Yeah.
Like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, Steven Styles.
Okay, Styles, yeah. Okay,
When you come off for a clothesline, you don't have to hit them hard.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Well, one of my guys wants to, when I say one of my guys, I'm talking about one of my partners, business partners. He actually wants to get the cable ropes.
No. No, 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 no.
He's listening right now, so go ahead and explain to him why not.
You can, but if you have traditional bull rope, like either the good hemp rope or the really solid nylon rope, you keep them taped and you keep them protected, they'll last you forever. I mean, they will. They will last you forever. They're fantastic. I don't want to go too far into it because you're going to start, giving out secrets on the air, and just not going to do that.
We're not doing that.
But they're wonderful, wonderful ropes. They're easy to tighten. They maintain their tightness. You know, they're great.
So, anyway, there it is. The ring itself.
Okay, one last thing, Tim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that an actual canvas, or is that like a gigantic friggin' bedsheet you've got on it?
That's actual canvas. That's the canvas mat that came with it. And it's actual canvas. It's not vinyl. So shave your arms.
You might want to look into changing.
Yeah, shave your arms.
Wait, you wrestle on that crappy vinyl stuff, don't you, Mace?
Quite a lot, yeah.
I hate wrestling on that. It gets sweaty and you start slipping. That's just my preference. I will tell you this though, Tim.
Yeah.
Invest in a box of Lysol. Go to the dollar store, buy like 6 cans.
Yeah, spray that shit down. Make sure that it's all.
Spray that shit down after every show.
Disinfected, not stinky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I can't. I, it's so gross to get on stinky canvas. Nobody wants to catch Hep B from a rope or from a turnbuckle pad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, we'll be spraying that sucker with Lysol every show. So.
And I will tell you this off the air. But one day you might have an opportunity at a WWE canvas, and I'll tell you how to get one for free off the air.
We'll talk. we're going to want to know about that. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's the big news. Now, this thing, we purchased it used, but it might as well be brand new. The guy used it 4 times. He paid full price for it from Monster Rings, and as you know, this type of ring from Monster costs $8,500.
Monster Rings are made right here in Ohio.
Yep. But this one here, like I said, the guy had it, like, used it 4 times. He was trying to get a wrestling school in Montana up and running. He had 4 students that wouldn't show up on a regular basis, and then his trainer unfortunately passed away. So things went sitting in storage, in a sealed storage unit.
I don't know if you have anyone who does body work.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If you know anyone who does body work, every once in a while, when it starts to chip, yeah, or it starts to, the paint starts to come off, if you have it sandblasted and powder coated, you may only have to do it like once every 10 years.
Oh no, dude, it came powder coated.
Right, but the powder coating is going to chip after a while.
Well, eventually, yeah.
Right. So, and I'm not saying like you have to do it, you know, after your first show, say a year from now when all the powder coating is off where you put the ring rails in,
yep,
and it's chipped off all the turnbuckles.
Yep.
You go get it sandblasted and re-powder coated.
Yep.
You know, it helps on ring life.
Yep.
Oh, well, no, absolutely. You enjoyed this episode of Taking Care of Your Ring with Spug and Tim.
Yeah, there you are.
I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to announce that Canadian All-Pro Wrestling now owns the ring. Spug takes over.
I apologize. I'm sorry. That's one of my big pet peeves, is getting into a ring. Dude, I'm not kidding. One of the last rings I was into, the ring posts on the bottom had rotted out. So the dude bought 4x4 blocks of wood.
Oh, God.
And the ring was on stilts. Every time you hit the ropes, the ring jerked back and forth. I thought the thing was going to fall.
That's funny. But anyway, there it is, and it's all good. Now, basically, what it is somebody actually fronted the money, and they're going to get paid back as we go on. So, yeah.
That whole thing.
I don't know what else to tell you about it. But, I'm really happy we've got this ring, and it actually frees us up to do a lot of things. The Royal Canadian Legion Downtown, bless them, is going to make time available for us to actually let the boys go in and practice for a couple hours a week. They'll throw the ring up. Now naturally there's money involved in this. So we're gonna get a bunch of guys committed to showing up on like a Sunday afternoon or whatever, when everybody can show up. And if we get 10 guys pitching in, and it's going to cost them $6, it's better than going to the gym, because it's going to cost you less money, right? And there are enough indie wrestlers in the city, in Calgary, that we can bring that price down to $3 for 2 hours, right? Which is, I think, awesome. That's not bad at all.
Wish ring time was that cheap around here.
Yeah, there you go. Please say that again.
I wish ring time was that cheap around here.
Thank you. Because
dude, I pay $30 a week to go get into a ring places.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, it's training time, and we've got one guy in the chat room, Kyle Driver. He's like, holy shit, I got training time. Kyle Driver, I'll tell you right now, he's an independent professional wrestler here in Calgary. I'm not going to tell you who he is. If he wants to let you know who he is, he can type it in the chat room his damn self. But, yeah, you know, he's one guy I know for a fact wouldn't have a problem paying $6 to get in there for 2 hours. You know? And no, it's not Randy. Randy's in British Columbia. yeah, you know, there's so many guys that'll just, like, go for this. It's great. And on top of that, we can actually get the Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Training School up and running. And the guys who help with the trainees, they won't be paying anything. You know, the trainees will have to pay their fee and go through the entire training and be helped out by guys like the Keishi Matsunaga, who was, by the way, he was a mat rat at one point in time, and he wrestles for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
I thought he was a sushi chef.
No.
No?
Okay.
No?
No. Okay. Oh, my God.
Just asking.
But he's learning English. Don't worry about it. Anyway. One story. I'll tell you later.
So, Tim, you have another announcement?
Yes. This was one, and it's great, and I love the fact we have the ring. We've got another announcement, and this one is actually potentially ginormous.
You've been bought by Heart Legacy Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for the check to clear.
Everybody gets a free steak knives.
Yeah, I'm just, like I said, I'm just waiting for the check to clear, Omega.
Still, didn't that
have
like,
a fun wait?
Didn't that show happen in like January?
Dude, there are still wrestlers who haven't been paid by the promoters.
I was trying to follow all that drama, and then I just was like, screw it.
Yeah, it just got to be too much. Anyway, yeah, this massive major news. Shaw Television is coming to our show on Saturday. We're going to be on TV. Canadian All-Pro Wrestling has got a thing in the works where Shaw TV is coming in. They're doing a feature piece on Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, which is going to be used to sell Canadian All-Pro Wrestling to Shaw TV. And immediately, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling becomes provincial, province-wide, which means places like Grand Prairie, 7 hours north of Calgary, will be able to watch Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, and then they can actually book Canadian All-Pro Wrestling to go all the way up to Grand Prairie with our very own ring and put on shows for them.
So does that mean we get to be hired on as commentators?
Only if you come to Calgary. No, I'm not paying your airfare.
I'm not coming to Calgary for $1,000 to wrestle for 40.
Well, there you go. I mean, oh, yeah, I pay more than 40 to most people, Spug.
He pays 41.
I'm just, listen. 42.75.
All I'm saying is I'm not paying $1,000 plus hotel to come to Calgary for a hot dog and a handshake.
Well, there you go. I'll tell you. Here's what you do, is you go on vacation, and while you're on vacation, you come wrestle a match.
If I'm going to go to...
you got to come for Calgary Stampede, man.
I've been told I should go up there for that.
Oh, it's awesome. If you like...
You have... West, all right. You have... I have news.
Okay.
I said it during the break in the chat. I'm filling out my paperwork as we speak for the Midwest Regional Powerlifting Championships on May 4th in Cleveland, Ohio. And if I place there, I'm competing in 2 of 3 events. I'm competing in deadlift and squat. And
just a squat. Just a minute. Kyle Driver, you're an ass. Continue.
You're welcome. If I place, I qualify for nationals to take place in the fall.
Awesome.
And if I place at nationals, I can qualify for worlds, which I do believe are in Toronto this year. I know that's nowhere near Calgary, but yeah. I would be in Canada. Yeah. So.
Now,
but my goal right now is just to do well at the regionals.
Yeah.
So you'll be in Calgary, which means you're going to get kicked out before I even get the chance to go over there with you.
Wait a minute. Name the Canadian town again.
Toronto.
Yeah. Where is Toronto in regards to Calgary?
A ways away, your point?
It's like directly north of Ohio. Basically, 3,000 miles.
I'm still coming to Canada.
Yeah, once you're in Canada, it's only two tankfuls of gas to get from Ontario to Alberta.
Yeah. Going to Calgary. It's $1,000 for me to get there.
It's baby steps, Tim. At least I'm across the border.
You know what else cost me $1,000, Tim? That's 1/4 of the money that I'm paying to go to school. to be a cop, okay? I'm not paying $1,000. Maybe one day when I become NWA US national champ or whatever, then you can book me in Calgary. But right now, not gonna.
Well, no, see, the thing is, you're gonna go on holidays, you're gonna come to the Calgary Stampede and check out the rodeo and shit, and the 10-day party we have here. And then while you're here, you know, yeah, you can wrestle.
I mean, that might get more over with my wife than, hey, I'm gonna spend $1,000 to go wrestle for a weekend. She might castrate me. I'm just saying.
There you go. So you just say, honey, we're gonna go to the Calgary Stampede because I wanna see, bull riding.
So why are we gonna pay $1,000 a piece to go to Calgary to watch bull riding? When we can go to the fair and watch bull riding there for less?
Because this is the greatest outdoor show on earth, and it's almost like Mecca. If you're into rodeo, you've got to come to Calgary at least once in your lifetime.
Because they ride mooses there.
No. That's Edmonton. They ride
mooses. You've seen the size of the beavers they wrangle?
There's a lot.
I don't think Spoke should tell his wife he's spending $1,000 to go wrangle beavers in Canada.
So back to stealing back my spotlight and my thunder. Canadian All Pro Wrestling is going to be spotlit on Shaw TV Saturday night. So those of you in Alberta who aren't in Calgary and can't come to the show on Saturday night, you can catch what's going on Shaw TV. Cable 10 in Calgary. Cable what the freak ever in Edmonton. I don't care.
Well, you could, like, you know, tune in to wildtalkradio.com and hear us do commentary.
Yeah, there you go. So,
because we're entertaining, damn it.
Those are the two big announcements for Canadian All Pro Wrestling. And thanks for stealing my thunder.
You knew it was bound to happen.
I know, but shit, they shouldn't have just give me that just once, you know?
We gave it to you for 10 minutes while you rambled on about the ring, and then we had to come in and save you.
You weren't saving me. So shut up. Anyway, there we are.
Like my status.
I mean, too, after you actually get on Facebook. Anyway. As he goes, likes your status, should we move on to him?
Yes!
Your status is not 100% correct, but I'll click on like. Thanks. I appreciate it, Spud. You posted before I had a chance to even put it up on Facebook? Great. See? You stole my thunder.
You set it out over the air.
Well, but there are people who aren't listening.
He's being nice to you. Just let it fucking go.
I'm sorry. I'm not used to this all camaraderie crap, okay? I'm still getting
used to it. Mouth, don't look.
So there it is, everybody. I think it's time we play Buy and Sell.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell.
No! 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 No!
The first one is that Hulk Hogan should have turned heel against the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6. Do you buy or sell, Mace?
Hulk Hogan or Hulk?
Hulk Hogan, whatever you want to say.
It's Hulk Hogan.
Whatever you say, Wes. Whatever you say, Wes. Hogan should have turned heel against the Ultimate Warrior. Eh. I don't really care. I don't even care enough to sell it. I don't care enough to buy it. It's just one of those, eh. If he stayed face or heel, it didn't mean shit. It's not like the, you know, rebooking on the fly against the Rock deal. But, you know, all it would have done is if Hogan turned heel against the Warrior, it means he would have been heel in the WWF and instead WCW, and Vince would have made more money. So.
Omega.
Indifferent. I'll give it away for free.
Omega.
Selling? However, I don't think it would have been a bad idea to try a heel Hulk Hogan in the WWF at least once. If only to freshen him up and go in a new direction for a little while. That said, the fact that he never turned heel during his main event run in WWF, that's what sold his heel turn in WCW. And that's what made wrestling interesting to watch in the 90s. That's where the Monday Night Wars came from. That's where the boom in wrestling came from. That's the genesis of modern professional wrestling. So, I guess I would buy it on being an interesting idea. I'm selling it based on historical importance.
Spug.
It's kind of an interesting proposition. I'm gonna sell it because at the time, had you turned Hogan heel on Ultimate Warrior, I think it would have killed Hogan, and it would have been something that he would have never been able to recover from.
Tim.
Oh. Why or so? I'd buy, because that would have been the pop just that much earlier that shook the wrestling world. And it might have helped WWE a little bit earlier than they wound up getting help.
Buy or sell Hulk Hogan as a person to induct Randy Savage into the WWE Hall of Fame. Omega.
There really isn't anyone left who would do it. You know, I'll buy it based on just the history of the two does mean it defaults to him, though. Jeez. See, now I'm second guessing it because I forget what terms Macho Man was on with Hogan.
Well, if you ask Hogan,
at the end, according to Hogan, they were just reconciling their friendship.
Okay, because
according to Hogan, posthumously, yeah.
Yeah, because the last update I heard was on a rap album. And not a good one.
Be a man, Hawk.
You know, since this is Hall of Fame, all it is a TV show for bringing out the old stars for WrestleMania season. You know what? I'm going to buy it, if only because publicly, those are the two names that associate the most in that era of wrestling. So point where you move on. Go.
Tim.
What?
Buy or sell?
That's a tough one. I would sell it, but, you know, it's like he said, who else is left? Really? That would have that kind of stature to induct Randy.
Spug.
I will sell it and offer you the counterpoint of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Hmm.
Because what individual other than Hogan is Randy Savage most indelibly linked to for their classic WrestleMania match?
Points.
I will also offer you the counterpoint of George the Animal Steel.
Only if he does it with a blue tongue.
Green.
Well, whatever.
Mace.
I'm going to go with buying it, because if there's one thing that always happens at these things, it's who are they most known with overall in the WWE, WWF. Sure, I would love to see Steamboat do it, because they had like the most classic match ever. But a lot of people are always going to associate Randy Savage with Hulk Hogan. So that would be the route that they take, and I, for one, I'd buy it.
Up next, buy or sell the new X Division rules. Passing along the rules for anyone who hasn't seen them just yet. Basically, all matches are now triple threat matches, with the loser who get the person who gets pinned will be out of the title match, and the person who didn't get pinned and the champion move on to another match, and to determine the next contender, it's another three-way match. Buy or sell, Mace?
Sell. Too confusing. Oh. That, you know, all of a sudden there's a fucking weight limit?
Yes.
What happened to the X? What happened to the X Division being, it's not about weight limits, it's about no limits.
Yes, that's true. Also, yeah, the weight limit
is 230. Abandon your original concept for one that is confusing as hell. Because I, even reading the Impact results, because I had to play catch-up because I only watched the first hour, a lot of people were commenting, okay, so does this mean that Sanjay Dutt isn't in the matches anymore? Does he move back down into the contendership match? And nobody could understand the rules correctly. And when nobody can understand the rules, why do it? Why make up a clusterfuck rule set that nobody can understand? That, and fuck you for putting a weight limit on it.
Omega.
Sell. Aside from just the fact that, yeah, the weight limit is stupid, I don't think Samoa Joe is going to be competing in the X Division anymore. Which is already a sin. The rules for the always, you know, it's all, every match is a three-way, and, you know, these people move on, this guy goes down there. It's convoluted, it's complicated, it doesn't make sense. And more than that, you're limiting the writing that you're going to be able to do for the division, because now it always has to be three-way. These guys got to stay into the storyline, these guys have to move out, and just, what's going to happen is the writing for that is going to become either bare bones, just so it's easy to work with, or it's going to be non-existent. The X Division won't have storylines. They'll just have big flippy matches and no real drama to it.
Spug. All right, Spug's not answering. Tim.
I don't want to answer either.
Why don't you want to answer?
Because I just don't feel like answering. No, it's a simple case of sell, because it's just too much. It's too much of a gimmick for to be anything more than a one month long thing to build up a pay per view.
Okay. So that's buy or sell.
Yeah. Now, don't we want to do something like the Great Debate?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE hardcore champion of all time.
Well, as you see, Spike Dudley staggering around, and then out of nowhere, look at this, Hurricane comes flying in. He really can fly.
It wasn't a bird, it wasn't a plane.
It was Hurricane.
It was Hurricane.
And he's our new hardcore champion here in the WWF.
Quick, to the Hurricycle.
And how?
No! Oh, wait a minute. What? Marty Molly. I don't believe it. Marty Molly.
Josh here with the sidekick.
Look, I'm the hardcore champion. I'm a winner, baby. Yeah. What the? What are you
doing? Hey, wait a minute. There's Maven. Maven rolling on Christian. I think Maven's regaining the hardcore title. And now he's taking Christian's cap.
Now step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Our first matchup of the evening is Tommy Dreamer versus Taz Mace. Actual
Dreamer.
Why?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember what the hell Taz did with it, and I can't remember. Yeah, Dreamer had the belt for quite a while. I believe he actually changed the belt a little bit for a bit.
His belt was a New York license plate.
That's right. So at least he did something with it. Whereas Taz, I don't really remember much of him doing anything with it. It's Taz. He throws people around, yay. So, yeah, Dreamer for the New York license plate.
Omega.
Yeah, I'm going to give points for the plate, too. But I'm picking Dreamer just because what he meant for ECW, I guess it was before he got the ECW championship and the WWE CW. Mm-hmm. Which, you know what? Ignore that. Ignore that. The hardcore title was as close as he ever got to the proper accolades he deserved.
Tim.
Damn it, do I have to pick one?
Yeah, you should, just, you know.
Looking at the two of them, I've got to pick Dreamer.
Any reason behind it?
Because he's Tommy freaking Dreamer. Don't get me wrong, love Taz, survive if I let you, yada, 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 right? That's great and everything. But when I think, you know, hardcore, like actual hardcore, I think ECW. When I think ECW, you know, literally the first name that pops up in my head is Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer is hardcore. And, you know, Omega said it. He didn't get the recognition he deserved in WWE.
Okay. Up next, Al Snow versus Raven. Omega.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez. I'm trying to remember anything about either of their championships.
Raven is the 50,000 time hardcore champion.
Oh, right. Thank you, House Shows. Because I'm not, you know, because my keyboard is indisposed right now, so I can't cheat on Wikipedia like I do every week.
Oh, you should have did your show prep before the show.
Yeah. I'm going Raven.
Why?
Aside from the sheer number, it's against. It just suits him more. Like, no offense to Al Snow, but, you know, the E in the ECW never felt like Al Snow.
It felt, you know, the E was for European for Al Snow?
Maybe. I mean, you know, Al Snow, he's an ECW original. I get that. He's best known for carrying around a mannequin head and riding on his forehead backwards. Which you could get away with there, and it was great. But when it comes to the hardcore aspect, that's Raven.
Mace.
Yeah, going with Raven, what a shock. Pretty much Omega summed up a lot of what I would have said. I just would have added that Al Snow was more well known for his European title run than his hardcore title run.
Tim. What do you think, Tim?
I'm thinking.
Well, it's dead air, you know. We can't have dead air.
What, you can't hear me thinking? Oh, sorry, I forgot. Fuck. I gotta pick Raven. It's just, yeah, Al Snow is awesome, and I love watching Al Snow, but, like, didn't you just say that he's more known for the European title?
That is what was just said, yes.
Yeah, you know, and Raven with the damn kendo sticks all the time and his flock, and it's just, you know, it's the whole goth thing that just feels more, you know, it just come across, it's more hardcore, dude.
So Raven moves on?
Yeah, Raven.
Next week, as we finish up this round, Steve Blackman takes on Mighty Molly, and RVD takes on Crash Holly. It's next week on The Great Debate.
Everybody's just jumping for joy because that's going to be so much fun. Thank you.
No, I just realized now that Rock's rigged it, that we're going to end up having Crash Holly versus Raven before the finals.
Oh, yeah, because yeah. I've rigged it that way.
Yeah, he intentionally set it up that way. Yes, I know. I know the whole conspiracy thing. I watched Jesse Ventura.
Nobody's watched Jesse Ventura.
You're right. All right, that's enough. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Do we have a Spug back for quick hits?
I do. You do? Yes, I'm here.
So Spug, if you could be a member of a famous rock band, what band would you want to be a part of and why?
You know, that's such a tough one. I'd say Metallica, but between like when they put out the Black Album and just before they went on their hiatus before they put out Load, because that like 2 year stretch where they were on tour for forever was awesome, because that's when they did that really cool ass Russian gig with like four other metal bands, or that big Moscow gig. So, but I would say Metallica.
Okay. Tim, who would win in a fight, Hulk Hogan or the transgender MMA fighter?
A transgender MMA fighter. Hulk Hogan knows three moves in the ring, and they're none of them devastating, brother.
Five. He knows five.
Okay, he knows five, but only three of them work anymore.
Sir,
thanks for backing me up, Omega.
Sir, wow. Do not disparage the back rake.
that is huge, the back rake. That's just like devastating.
Oh my god, you just reminded me of the goofiest video I've ever seen.
Hey, I use the back rake, Tim. Shut up.
Oh my god.
I do. It's awesome.
Mace, with New Jack retiring soon, supposedly on April 5th, what will you miss most about New Jack?
Not a damn fucking thing!
He'll miss the rats that pay his cell phone bills.
No, that's what he'll miss.
That's what I said, he'll miss the rats that pay his cell phone bills.
Yeah, I was asking pretty much what he would miss. So not a damn thing?
Not a damn thing. Fuck him.
Oh my god.
Can I ask him a counter question to that, please?
I guess. Go ahead.
How much damage do you think that New Jack himself has personally done to the legacy of the wrestling business by his antics?
It would be the equivalent of blowing off somebody's knees with a shotgun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Omega, since we know you're such a, you know, a shopping expert, what would you get The Undertaker for his birthday?
A wig?
A wig?
It makes some people on this network happy.
Alright, that works. Spug, do you think putting a vibrator by your vocal cords will actually make you hit a higher pitch note?
It could stimulate the vocal cords. You might loosen them up. It sounds fairly scientific. I'd buy it.
Because up in Alberta, there's a teacher who does this.
I'm not gonna like disparage the scientific nature of it. Until I saw it happen, you know. I could buy it though.
You could buy it. Okay.
So in other words, he's gonna go and ask the woman later. You gotta test his scientific theory.
She doesn't own any vibrators.
That's the story. If you want to take a listen to it or read it, I should say.
A little busy feeding a spuggling.
All right, feeding a spuggling. Tim.
Why?
So we're gonna stay with the same topic we had last week. So Tim, how has Beavis and Butthead changed your life?
It hasn't affected my life in the slightest because I never watched it.
Really? There you go.
I hate you. And everybody laughs like Beavis and Butthead without even trying. They're like,
I am Cornelio.
No, you're not. You just sounded like a pissed off Cartman there, that's all.
Get you!
Mace, if you...
Wait! Slipping!
Mace, if you could drop yourself into any comic book world, what comic book world would you drop yourself into and why?
See, once upon a time it would have been Spider-Man. Just so I could punch, you know, Peter Parker in the gut, kick him in the dick and say, man the fuck up. But given the recent way Spider-Man's been going, if I did that, I'd end up dead.
Plus, he'd be in a shitty comic book.
That too. These days, it's very strange, but there's a little in the... There's an independent book out there known as Bomb Queen. This is basically based around the premise of what happens when a bomb-toting psychopath takes over a city. So that'd be the book I go on living, because it'd be a very interesting way to probably survive about 15 seconds before I take a bomb to the face and get exploded.
Okay.
Either that or the world of Transmetropolitan.
Omega, if you could drop yourself into any cartoon world, what cartoon world would you drop yourself into and why?
Oh boy. Yeah, because it's not like I only have a few to pick from here and can come up with an answer very readily. God, that is a good one. I'm trying to think now. I swear, some of these questions you'd really need to give me ahead of time, because it takes me that long to come up with a freaking answer.
But that spoils the fun of it.
I'm not having fun here.
Plus, it also creates dead air, which we know Omega gets in trouble for by Chris Jericho yelling at him.
It does. But that's why we have the background music, so there really is no dead air.
Nope. All right.
See, here's the thing. If I get dropped into any cartoon world, I'm not going to be the one getting to have any fun. I'm going to be the one dodging supervillains and explosions.
You could drop yourself into the world of Dora the Explorer so you can grab the little bitch by the head and go, "It's over fucking there! It's right behind you, you dumb bitch!"
You can go to Ponyland.
No, I can't.
You could.
No, I can't.
You could.
No.
Someone said you could.
I'd be setting up a glue factory.
You could be a brownie, bruh.
No, I can't, bruh. You know what? I'm going to drop myself in the world of Animaniacs.
Yes!
That sounds fun.
Can we do good idea, bad idea constantly?
No, you wouldn't, because unfortunately in that type of situation, Omega would be the poor bastard that they do it to.
Okay, the next quick hits question goes to the Spuglet that we hear in the background.
Spug, I want you there with me just so you can spin the Wheel of Morality once and it just blows up.
Wheel of Morality, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should... I still know that. Oh, it's awesome.
I just got the full 5 seasons last night.
And Tim, the Spugling is busy eating.
Wait a minute, you're breastfeeding Spug?
No.
Oh, come on, you could put the Spugling on the line. It'd give us a better promo than Steven Styles.
Oh!
Happy now, Tim. Happy now.
The Spugling makes its debut in a riff coming very soon.
In case you didn't figure that out, that was me standing, giving you a standing fucking ovation.
That's right. The Spugling does make an appearance on
the riffs coming this week.
I like Spuglet better than Spugling.
Either way, that was quick hits.
Well, he looks like a baby now, so it doesn't really matter. He doesn't look like a weird alien thing.
So, yeah, that's another edition of Rust Talk Radio WPR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for all of the likes and the comments concerning all of the bombshells that we dropped tonight and posted on Facebook all over the goddamn place. I'm getting private messages like crazy and likes from guys like Kamikaze and, of course, Vinny Fever. Everybody's just like really, really pleased for us, and thank you all very, very much.
Seriously, congratulations to you, man. I know how hard you've worked at it, and you deserve it. So I hope you guys make something up there, because that Hart family legacy bullshit put a serious damper on wrestling from that area, and I would like to see something successful come out of you guys. I really
would. Thank you very much, very sincerely, Spug. And I'll tell you, that the debacle...
So hurry up, become successful so you can book us.
There you go. Yeah, that Hart Legacy Wrestling debacle, believe it or not, helped us. And I'll expand on that at some other point in time. Don't forget, everybody, I have started up a blog. That's right, you can actually read pieces of my mind. I'm not talking about wrestling. I'm talking about everything in my life that I encounter that makes me happy, that pisses me off, that gets me all excited or frustrated, whatever. You can read it on Pieces of My Mind. You can find the link on the front page of the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you're on my Facebook friends list, you'll see the posts come up every time I post a new blog. Please read what I've got to say and feel free to comment on it. I'll be more than happy to read your comments and even reply to you if it's something that needs to be replied to. Tomorrow night, right after Raw... Hey, wait a minute. There's a neat title right after Raw. It's the Raw Post Show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with your host, the Joe producer of the network, Mr. Sir Rockin' Dude.
Yes, 30 minutes after Raw, we will talk about all things Monday Night Raw, condense it down to about 45 to 50 minutes. Tune in.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Tuesday night, it's another edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with your host, Alan Wojcik. He interviews people. And do you think that Alan Wojcik is still listening, or can I just save my shots for next week?
I don't think he's listening anymore. Tuesday night, KFA Wrestling Radio, he welcomes Adam Baum to the program along with the Million Dollar Man.
Might actually be there this week.
Everybody's got a price. Whatever. And, of course, Wednesday night, it's some kind of a wrestling show, Rock.
Just another goddamn wrestling show. 8:30 p.m. Eastern this Wednesday night.
Yeah, with Keyboard Bailing. Woo! And your host, Scott Berry. On Thursday night, it's the award-winning Rack with Lindsay Horde. And I've got an inside scoop, guys. This Thursday night, Lindsay Horde is going to do the show naked. It's true. There will be pictures.
Or we will be interviewing the one, the only, the lovely Trish Stratus. Tune in, 11 p.m. Eastern for the Rack.
Wait a minute. Hold it. You're going to interview Trish Stratus in the nude?
No,
Everybody, that's right. You heard right. Trish Stratus will be on the rock, or on the rack. Yeah, she'll be on the rock again. Yeah, no, she'll be on the rack this Thursday night. Make sure you tune in for another awesome interview. I'm tongue-tied because it's Trish freaking Stratus, and I'm pretending I'm Omega and don't know how to talk properly.
that only happens in front of Jericho for Omega, so...
There you go, and then he yells at you for dead air. Friday night. Friday night, come play video games with Mace.
Indeed, 7-8 p.m. This Friday night. I have no freaking idea what the hell I'm playing this week. Last week was Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate Fuck You Capcom and your goddamn naming system. where you got to pretty much watch my friend Will play Monster Hunter while I actually join him on my 3DS, which is why you saw me never really looking at a camera or the TV screen. As for this week, I have no idea. I've got nothing planned. I will work something out in the meantime, and I'll let you know on Facebook.
There you go. Oh, hey, speaking about video games, Mace, I'm rocking old school. I cracked out the N64, and I've been playing Rogue Squadron, Shadows of the Empire, and Knockout Kings 2000.
Not a bad selection, with the exception of Knockout Kings.
Yeah, it's kind of like, but still, I get to fight Muhammad Ali and kick his ass, which becomes really boring after 30 seconds. Other than that, yeah, the other two, they're fun games. So I just thought you'd be kind of like, oh, hey, Tim's rocking it old school. Way to be, old man. Anyway, there. Saturday night, midnight, or as close as they can get it, it will be another edition of CB Radio.
Weird, wacky, unusual. It's CB Radio. Check it out. Midnight is this Saturday.
Yeah. And before that, hey, those of you in Calgary, don't listen. Cover your ears, because I'm about to tell everybody who live outside of Calgary, outside of Alberta, and even outside of Canada. Watch Canadian All-Pro Wrestling's March Mayhem live on the interwebs right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And that will be starting around 8:30, 9 o'clock Eastern. And then, of course, next Sunday night, another edition of Russell Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll let you know exactly what happened the night before at March Mayhem.
Plus our WrestleMania, or the Russell Talk Radio WrestleMania preview next Sunday night.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That being said, come to all of our shows and buy as many tickets as possible, because we've got a lot of stuff we got to pay off now. So help us out. Support your local indies, especially Canadian Opera Wrestling. We have t-shirts available. This is legitimate. No word of a lie. Get in touch with me. The t-shirts are $20 Canadian plus shipping. If you live in Calgary, shipping is free, because we'll just bloody deliver them to you. But you too can own an absolutely awesome, raved about, and extremely popular Canadian All-Pro Wrestling t-shirt. We just need you to email timstein@canadianallpro.com, and we'll get you all hooked up and tell you how to pay for it and all that other garbage, and we'll get you a shirt as soon as possible. And yes, it will literally be sent out to you, because it's Ian Winston doing it, not Tim Stein. Okay, so Jersey Girl, you can order a t-shirt and be sure that you get it. Alright, who knows, there might be a DVD wrapped around the t-shirt if you buy it. So buy the t-shirt, because t-shirt might be wrapped around a DVD. You know what I mean?
Wrap up then.
Anyway, that's enough. I'm rambling, and I'm not going to sleep tonight, because I'm too happy and excited. Woohoo! Yay! Go Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
Buy the hats.
Definitely go to Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. The hats are a secret. We haven't told anybody about the ball caps yet.
They're in the saying in the chat. And hats. To keep talking about it.
No, we're not telling anybody that you can buy a Canadian All-Pro Wrestling ball cap for like $20. It's awesome. That's right. Yeah. See how I did that, right? That was like negative and crap like that. But anyway, there you go. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night. I walk for my machine. I walk for my machine. Buy the goddamn t-shirts!
And hats.
Hey, I didn't get freebies.
Bullshit.
No shit. I had to pay for my shirt. And my hat.
What, a dollar?
No, two. Because I got one of each.
This is the cutest sounding outro ever. WildTalkRadio.com